This is CliffCentral.com.
So much going out there. Oshri, how are you doing? Glad to have you in the studio. I'm sorry that I just blanked you outside.
It's okay. Good morning.
I literally was dying. But hey, it's been a tough week for all of us. You're here. You look to be in fine health. Thanks for joining us. I think it was quite short notice. Michael basically saw something about you on the internet and said, we have to get this guy in the studio.
Which I'm glad he did, because, you know, I think it's going to be fascinating getting into Oshri's story. Yes, it is a Friday, so, you know, we thought we'd change things up a little bit, which is great. But Oshri, yes, thank you for joining us this morning. I understand that you are in South Africa for a short time and then you'll be leaving soon. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So what are you in the country for exactly?
Promoting my new and first international single, Crazy But Free.
Okay.
Doing some promo and including South Africa in the loop.
So, Oshri, you're from Israel, right?
Yeah, Israeli born, moved to Cape Town, now living in New York.
Okay, that's quite a combo. When I was 18, I didn't know what to do with my life. Basically, my parents, it was always up to me. I mean, just do it if you want.
Well, yeah, I mean, you were raised by wolves.
Stay off drugs, basically.
Yes, yes, yes.
So I ended up in a kibbutz in Israel.
Oh, really?
Not because I'm Jewish or anything like that. I just thought it was a good party. And there I was, 18, on the border of Palestine, just a little bit out of Beersheba. It was the strangest, weirdest place, because I was quite a sheltered youth. I don't know if you knew this about me, but I was very quiet and shy.
Yes.
And I went there, and I the world happened. I had to be out there and do stuff. I was a field laborer, which was quite something. All day, I just drove tractors, and I got into this old kibbutz way of life. Thankfully, though, I didn't just have the kibbutz experience. I went into Tel Aviv. I went into Jerusalem, one of the most fascinating countries. You think stuff's weird here. Stuff's pretty weird out there as well. The melting of societies. You must have had quite a mad upbringing. I mean, there is no normal life in Israel, is there?
No, not really.
Like, whether it's religious or cultural, whatever it is. And some fascinating places.
I mean, where there is a normal life, I guess. Like,
I think Canada.
I mean, what is normal? You know, we're not going to go into that. But in generally, it's, it's interesting way of living. You know, it's a very small place. Very united kind of nation,
call. People are very patriotic. Yeah, flags
very,
everywhere.
Yeah.
And some of the most incredibly good-looking women in the world.
Oh, yeah.
Like, without doubt. And that's coming from South Africans, and we have also right up there.
I have to agree with that.
Now, Oshri, you were born to, is it a Yemeni mom or a Yemen mom?
Yemeni
mom and a French dad. Did that make for a very interesting upbringing in Israel, or, I mean, not really?
Yeah, I mean, my dad is not Jewish. Mm. He's Catholic, very white. Mm. And my mom is a Yemenite, which is very kind of high temper and, you know, kind of a lot of energy, a lot of food. So it was interesting, the two kind of worlds. In Israel, it's like everyone is a combination of something. I mean, most of the people.
Yeah, that's what I found so fascinating, is that it's kind of like Brazil in that respect. When I went to Rio, I saw the exact same thing. It's like you'll get blonde-haired, blue-eyed people and then people with the darkest of dark features, all speaking the same language, all living the same life, essentially.
All getting along?
Mostly. But, I mean, you got some fiery spirits here. I mean, not in a violent sense, just very emotional, expressive people. So, obviously, musically, you know, you started from very, very early with all these different inspirations and stuff. Was it a kind of a boy band where you got your first sort of big, like, standout gig here?
Here?
Sorry, in general.
Yeah, I mean, I was 16, and it was like a boy band, like a proper five guys singing,
outfits choreographed,
exactly.
The whole deal.
It was huge. I mean, we toured the country. We got chosen for the band of the year several times. And that's like the bug was already in me, but that's where it was like.
Was that okay, cool, we're going to be the next Backstreet Boys? Or was that just I'm in the music industry, I'm going to see where this takes me now?
I mean, it was basically an audition. It sounds like we were friends and kind of, so audition, and we started, and it went for 3 years. I didn't know, you know, you can never know.
It's a difficult kind of thing as well, but being in a boy band as well, obviously you're one of five people. Mm. So to think about, you know, do I go personal? Do I go with this? It must be quite a tough gig. Because whenever I look at guys like One Direction, and at a young age, okay, you're getting a lot of attention.
Well,
you're
getting
a lot of profile around this,
and you're getting a lot of female attention at that as well. You know, and you're only 16 years old, and all of a sudden now everybody wants a piece of you. I mean, how did you adjust to all of that?
Yeah, I mean, did you ever think like, okay, getting back to normality? Did you ever think like maybe my childhood's being a bit sort of not twisted or anything like that, but it's very different? I mean, did you feel your upbringing was at all like kind of altered by this?
So, I mean, I grew up in a very, very small kind of village. Single mom, not a lot of money. So I kind of experienced struggle since I was young. So for me, I wasn't really blinded by this whole...
Right, okay. So you were quite leveled.
Yeah, I was like, okay, it's awesome. I need to enjoy it, but I need to make the best out of it because you never know what's going to happen tomorrow.
Yeah, you saw it for what it was.
Yeah, and which was true because when we were done, like, we had to go back to life, you know? And it's Israel. It's not the States where you made a hit and you're like, that's it. You're done. Yeah. You know, you're a millionaire now. So it's like you have to keep your head.
Now, when you're in either a boy band or a girl band, you know, these bands always have a certain lifespan to them before the band, ultimately splits. And so you were with the band for how many years before?
3 years.
For three years.
Yeah.
And how did it all come to an end? Was it a case of you wanting to go out on your own or, you know, did it just come time for the band to
end? It's actually our manager. He had a like really, really big act and he kind of got into troubles and he couldn't really afford to hold us together, so he decided to just
when the band then ended, did you feel, you know, were you worried that this might be the end of your music career, or did you then just think, oh well, you know, time to do this solo?
I mean exactly, like I was about to go solo and it was hard, you know, it was 3 years, very intense three mm-hmm. years, like you cannot walk like down the street without being
recognized,
or like if you see a school bag, you just like turn around and, you know, I was always optimistic and I was like, you know what, it's ended for a reason, let's move on. And yeah, then I did the Idols in Israel, made it final 10 and kind of was like, okay, now I need a break from everything, let me go to South Africa and travel.
Okay, so then you got into a position where you thought, okay, maybe start a business. What was the sort of thought process around that? Was it very much like music was cool, I had a lot of fun, but now I've become more of an adult? Because sometimes you get like that, whether it be sport or music, there's like quite a difficult decision you have to make at some stage.
You do, and especially when your mom is like on you, you know, like, come on, you know, like get a real job.
Yeah.
And, I mean, for me it was... The big plan was to save money, like to start a business, to save money so I'll be able to find my own album and maybe go to New York and study music, which we know costs a lot of money.
A lot, yeah.
Yeah, so I was like, let me put it on hold for now and just start something and see how it goes.
Well, let's talk about some of the people that you have gotten to, you know, to work with and to, you know, by association. You've been signed to Wyclef Jean. You were also signed to Akon. I mean, these are not small names in the music industry, right?
No, not
so at all. let's begin with Wyclef Jean and how you ended up being signed by his label. Tell me about that process.
So I joined Trace TV had a singing competition. Mm. Which I didn't even know what Trace was because I had no TV. But my friend sent me a brochure telling me, hey, this you can call and sing and maybe win something. So I was like, okay.
I can do all of that.
Yeah, I can do that, you know. And I did, and it turned out to be a TV show that was mentored by Wyclef Jean. And I won the first edition on 2014. And yeah, and then he just told me, come to New York. Let's work. You've got great potential. And I was like, what?
So you're in like, with confirmation like that, that's when you just know music is got to be your thing.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you know, I'm sure your mom understood that one.
She doesn't know who he is. but I mean, she doesn't even know who Akon is. But Yeah, for me it was like it was one of the most important conversation I think in my life.
Sure. Moving to New York, was that a very big mental shift for you, just adjusting to the way of life there and, you know, how hard those guys push and hustle?
No, it is. I mean, moving from Cape Town, you know, the big nature resort to this big concrete resort.
Yeah.
For me it was just like, because I didn't want to deal with the mental thing, so I was like, okay, I'm not moving. I'm just going for a few months to kind of explore and see what's going on. And I feel like when you have a dream, you know, when you chase something, so the rest, the environment, where you are, what you do, it doesn't really matter as long as you're on the way.
Exactly. It's just another role in the story, whether it be place or people or whatever you're doing. It's just part of that path. It's quite a difficult thing as far as, look, I mean, Cape Town to New York, that's a huge step. But the thing is, you're doing something which is very volatile and very competitive as well. I mean, when you got there, did you know anyone else? Like, what was your sort of support base or home base, really?
I knew Wycliffe, and I knew
one more guy. You couldn't really just say, hey, Wycliffe, what you doing this Sunday? Let's play PlayStation.
Can I come over to your house?
Actually, I did.
Oh, you did?
Of course. What do you mean? He brought me here. I was like, hey, buddy, what up? Like, what's going on? Like, let's meet, you know? And when we did, we really clicked. And it was kind of, I can say, magical, you know? Like,
wow.
He's a phenomenal artist. He's really connected in terms of creation.
Well, he was a real creative maverick. I mean, if you look at all his stuff, he was really big at a certain stage, and he had too much for him now. But I mean, everything that guy did was just something different and something cool. Yeah. I still believe that will.i.am and all those guys, they're on the back of Wycliffe. They can say what they want, but he was the guy that really...
I think they would disagree with you hugely, but you know...
Well, obviously they will.
Who am I to speak on their behalf? But Oshri, you know, competing in an environment such as New York City, I mean, the competition there, the level of competition there is so high.
Insane.
You really can't afford to be, you know, waking up and feeling sorry for yourself or being unsure. You have to kind of walk in there, you know, telling yourself that I'm good at this, I'm going to make it, right?
Yeah, I mean, you have to, and... as harder as you try to do that every day, some days you can't.
Exactly.
And you have to accept that. And it's hard in New York because you walk down the street and it's the most beautiful people on earth. And you know that in every little window, there's something big happening. So I just learned like to walk down the street and just raise my head and like, you know what? I'm here. Let's make the best out of it.
Well, speaking of making the best out of it, your latest music video is basically you in New York. It's kind of like your entire story is now being brought to life. So we're actually going to play the song Crazy But Free.
Yes.
That's your latest one.
Yes.
And then we'll come back and you can tell us a little bit more about it and how everything was made and put together. Because I find this whole music video industry business thing all quite fascinating, from concept until getting it done. So this is Oshri's latest single, Crazy But Free. Very nice. Great Friday track there as well. That's our guest, Oshri, with his latest single. You are kind of naked towards the end of that. Is that just for the ladies, or is that part of your expression?
It's both. Both. It's just the concept was just be who you are no matter where you are.
Okay.
And I think for me, being naked, you know, it's not just literally just taking off my clothes. It's just being exposed and feeling comfortable even when you are exposed.
Which is what the music industry kind of is. So how does a music video like that get produced? I mean, do you have producers there who say, right, we need to set this, we need to position you with this identity, so you need to do this kind of stuff? Or do you come to them with a concept and say, look, this song, what I want to do to represent it is this?
Yeah, so I meet with the director. Production company has a few directors under the same company. And I met with Jake McPhee, which is a great HBO producer, and he just asked me like, what message do you want to give? You know, what do you want to deliver? Like, what's the song is about? And then we talk about it, and we like experimenting in terms of concept and, yeah, of course, budget and all of that included, and then you come up with what you feel is best for you.
So tell us a bit more about Akon. You just kind of shared that Wycliffe was so cool and you guys got along so well. Now, Akon was also a guy that came kind of out of obscurity here in Africa. he had a big break, and then he just became this massive deal.
Yeah.
Did you guys also click in the same kind of way?
Yeah, I mean, it was obviously a different type of click. Like, I met him when I performed at the French Music Award 2015, okay. And he just walked in when I was doing my sound check, and he got really impressed, and we talked. He did the second season of the Traced competition, and yeah, I mean, we clicked because he immediately got my vision where I want to go. And he was on point, so he's really smart. He's like, business wise and creative wise, he can bring those two worlds together.
Yeah.
And yeah, so for me, that what I saw was very appealing, and I really appreciate about his kind of.
You were signed to Akon's label, and you know, with a lot of the musicians that we end up interviewing on the show, you know, some of them talk about, you know, going independent labels and the difficulty that comes with. For you, having worked with such big names, are you currently still signed to Akon's label, or
yes,
has that changed? And then going forward, do you think that going independent for yourself could, you know, ultimately be something that you consider for your career?
So, yeah, I'm still signed to him, and Akon is not a major label. So what basically he does is he found artists, help them to develop their sound and their music, and then basically create a product, which is the EP, and sell it to the majors. So, I mean, going independent, it's always good if you're capable of, if you can afford it, and if you have the fan base. But if you're someone who comes out of like nowhere, like I did, with no track record, like big track record, it's really, really hard these days to break.
Yeah.
Because it's you have to do everything. Like even now I'm signed, but I'm doing a lot of the things by myself.
Yeah, I guess it's like a lot of stress too. And if you're not quite there yet, you go independent, suddenly you're worried about the business side more than the music side on top of that, and it puts a lot of strain on you.
Yeah.
And where are you finding that you're growing your biggest fan base currently? I mean, which parts of the world would you say that people definitely know about Oshree and, you know, are big fans of your work? You have been in the industry for a few years now.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Israel, because like I was born there.
Yeah.
And I feel like South Africa and France now, in terms of the international market,
mm-hmm.
We're focusing on those markets. And hopefully next year they're going to be an official release in the States. So
yeah, because if you make it just a little bit there, it's just the next level. Well, actually, wish you all the best with
Thank
all
you
that.
Very much.
It is a big, bold step, obviously, trying to make it in America. But hey, your music video is great. I think your sound is very cool. And if there's anything else we can do going forward, just let us know. Keep in touch.
Thank you.
It'd be great to have you back.
Thank you for having me.
Maybe bring Wycliffe. You guys can talk about PlayStation for half an hour.
Yeah.
Chill.
So bring your friends.
This is CliffCentral.com.